Methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The gut is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, the heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting to danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Found America's road home, the ultimate remedy, with L.B. Bork.
Well, good day, everyone. This is the ultimate remedy. How is everyone today? I don't know how I am. Seems to be getting worse. I don't know. I try to ignore what's going on out there. Live in a bubble, so to speak, because I don't like the new normal. And anyway, hope everyone's having a great week otherwise. This is America's Road Home, although people really don't want to go home because they really like their Marxism. Mr. Gaddy and I were discussing that before the program today, and of course, Nate's with us also, and we're going to be talking about this and that. Mike, how are you?
Present and accounted for.
Accounted for. I don't know if that's good or bad. What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I am being thoroughly monitored and policed in this wonderful free society that we have, so I am accounted for.
Okay. Thanks for explaining that to us. So, Nathaniel, what's up, bud?
Not much. Just watching everything go down around me.
Is it?
Oh, it's flip on the news. You can't tell me it's not. At least that's their narrative.
That's one of the things I don't watch. You know, I tried to ignore it. I had a good talk with my friend Karen over the weekend, and she had a breakdown. She can't believe what's going on. And that's all. I'll leave it there. I'll leave it at that, rather. So, anyway, yeah. I don't even listen to many other programs, I have to admit, because it seems like everyone's stuck in the same box that they've been, you know, basically programmed to be in. America's Road Home had to deal with people going back to natural law and being free from, you know, the communist system that exists, but it appears that most people aren't interested in it. They keep kicking the can down the road, as far as I can see. I don't understand that they think things are going to get better, but it's going as planned. You know, people like George Orwell, for example, are revered by most people, thinking, wow, he really had some, you know, insights to what was going to happen. Oh, of course he did. He's a socialist. He knew what was going to happen. And he wasn't making predictions. He was telling people what the plan was. Unlike my, you know, my predictions based on the research, being looking from the outside in, he was on the inside in. So anyway, it's not good. People aren't going to be free. Nothing's going to get better unless people decide to do something about it. And that's the only way it's going to work. Any comments, guys? Any peanut gallery comments from maybe the chat room? Everyone listens when we talk for some reason. No one's talking.
Well, I'm in peanut country, if that helps.
Peanut country. You mean Jimmy Carter?
Oh, yes. Okay. Jimmy just lived right down the road from where I am now.
Wow. So what's he have to say these days? I think he's still around, right?
I have no idea and could care less.
Well, we're a brave bunch today.
I'm just being realistic. You know, I've been amazed in my years under a false name on Facebook. I've been amazed at the number of people who send me a friend request, and they will have on their profile picture of a politician or a picture of them standing with a politician.
They're proud. And
I have never, ever accepted a friend request from anyone who affiliates themselves with politics.
Yeah, status quo politics. So, yeah, even Ron Paul, I was talking to my friend Mylene over the last week. I think it was Saturday over the weekend. And she basically said Ron Paul even, you know, would skate the 14th Amendment issues. And I always thought it was interesting that, you know, he was the only one in Congress that really had liberty in mind. Don't you find that kind of odd? Out of all these 500 and some Congress critters, he's the only one that was interested in freedom.
Well, you know, early on in his career in the House of Representatives, he proposed a piece of legislation which would have required anyone introducing legislation to have it made into law, that right. In the preamble of that piece of legislation, they cite the constitutionality.
Right.
And I don't think he got anybody to sign on with him on that.
Well, I kind of laughed at it because I would say, or I said to myself, everything would point to the 14th Amendment, basically. For the most part, these days.
Or the 17th.
Yeah, or something.
You know, all of those unratified amendments.
Yeah, nothing would go to the body of the Constitution because they overstepped that a long time ago. I think 150 years ago. Would it take them less than 70 years break their own rules?
It only took George Washington 3 years to violate the Constitution.
Well, that's true. What was that, Insurrection Act?
No, he violated the Constitution when he and Hamilton formed an army to march into Pennsylvania to put down the Whiskey Rebellion.
Oh, that one, yeah. That violation.
Yeah.
And they're talking about Trump being an insurgent.
If you go by Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, Hamilton and Washington and all of the men in that army that went with them committed treason.
Sure. Yeah, good point. I stand corrected there. Yeah, it didn't take them a couple years to break their own rules.
Well, it only took Congress about 15 minutes. Seriously, gentlemen.
No, I believe you. It just sounds funny, you know. Let's make some rules. Make some rules and then break them.
Well, what was the first one? What was the first piece of legislation they introduced?
Oh, it was one of the first. I think you're referring to the Judicial Act. The
Judicial Act of 1789, which rewrote Article 3 of the Constitution, which you can't do with a law. You have to do it according to amendments. And they just completely bypassed the Constitution with their very first act of Congress.
Well, silly them. So, Nathaniel, what do you think about all this?
Well, one nation under fraud, as you always say.
I still like that one.
It is. It's really true to the point.
See, that's my play on one nation under God.
Well, I know.
Well, I know you know, but I don't know if Mike knew.
It's very telling.
So,
I don't know how I without waking people up mentally, I just don't know how anybody's ever going to take back control of the government that ensnared them into their consensual slavery.
Hey, Nate, I don't know that they are actually asleep. I think that what we have is generations of institutionalized ignorance to the point they don't know the truth when they hear it. They don't know anything when they actually see it. We have about 300 million zombies that, you know, as my grandfather said years and years ago, you can add all the mayonnaise you want and stir like hell. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken blank.
Right.
I thought you could do it if you stir real, real fast.
That's what you Yankees think.
Oh. Hey, come on now. I'm a copperhead, if anything.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was one of the first copperheads, you know. I wasn't even born then, when they invented them. But I would have been there, I'm pretty sure. For you people that don't know what that is, it's Yankees that were Southern sympathizers. They didn't like what was going on, supposedly.
Well, at least you weren't a scalawag.
Yeah. How about those carpetbaggers? Let's talk about them a little bit. What was their deal?
What was their deal? They were traitors.
Yeah.
They moved into the South during Reconstruction to make a profit. Not only to make a profit, but they moved in to take over the churches and the schools and indoctrinate the South into the ways of socialism.
I heard a lot of more of the Synagogue of Satan persuasion.
Well, you know, to me, it doesn't make any difference the faith of the man who pulls the trigger.
Yeah. Well, evil's evil, right? But that's the... I was telling someone besides yourself today about these New World Order people are basically, or the Satanists, believe that there's no good and evil. It's whatever is. I watched that five-hour video. I can't remember the gentleman's name. Someone shipped me that video a few weeks ago. I watched the whole thing, and I have to say that my friend Mylene actually came around, and she says it's pretty decent. I don't know why she was turned off at first, but the guy brings up a lot of good points. He exposes a lot of Masons, or the neo-Masons, you might call them, that are brainwashing the children through music and whatever, and entertainment. it's quite a list he gives. So they're the ones that are, you know, just screwing things up royally. And I just look at them as Satan's minions. And their attitude is, whatever you want to do, do it, you know. That came from that Satanist, what was his name? Help me out here, Nathan.
Which one?
Which one? The main one. He wrote the book, basically, in the 1900s here. Names escape me sometimes, especially if I don't appreciate the people.
Anton Lee?
What? Anton LaVey, maybe? No. Yeah. I think it was another one. That's not the guy. Go ahead, Mike. You were going to say something.
Well, I was going to ask you a question. How can you tell if someone is really pursuing liberty? What facts, what vital facts should someone understand who is pursuing liberty?
Well, liberty is freedom with restrictions. So I don't do liberty myself. I like freedom. Well, but go ahead. Definitions
lesson? Are in the mind. I don't believe that Patrick Henry, when he said, give me liberty or give me death, I don't think he meant modified freedom. Here, stop and think about this. Whoever desires liberty should understand some vital facts. Number one, that every man who puts money into the hands of a government, so-called, puts into its hands a sword which will be used against himself to extort more money from him and also to keep him in subjection to that government's arbitrary will. Number two, that those who will take his money without his consent will use it for his further robbery and enslavement if he presumes to resist their demands at any time in the future. Number three, that it is a perfect absurdity to suppose that anybody of men would ever take a man's money without his consent under the guise of protecting him. Number four, if a man wants protection, he is competent to make his own bargains for it, and nobody has any occasion to rob him in order to protect him against his will. Number five, that the only security men can have for their political liberty consists in their keeping their money in their own pocket until they have assurances perfectly satisfactory to themselves that it will be used for their benefit and not for their injury. Number six, that no government can reasonably be trusted any longer than it deserves voluntary support. And that's my half a dozen for liberty today, gentlemen.
Well, you know, the whole thing is off consent. You know what really bothers me is Spooner was said to be a Mason. So, I've said lately that I don't really trust anyone anymore. You know, the old guys that were looked at, even, someone like H.L. Mencken. I bet he was an operative. I'm thinking everyone's an operative, except for me. Well, not you guys. But it seems like everyone is.
Oh, my. Okay.
I mean, they've skewed history that much, haven't they?
Well, you know, I've had people tell me that, I don't believe that this history is perverted like you say it is. I said, well, do you believe the news? And they go, well, hell no, I don't believe the news. And I said, well, the news is just the history you'll read about tomorrow.
That's what I'm talking about, you know. There's really nothing that can be trusted. And, you know, like I've been saying for a while, they haven't gotten away with this for, well, the last 150 years or more, if you want to go there, without operatives and lies.
There is that, but remember, LB, I know you said it before, and I agree with you, and I say it to everybody I talk to, is no law or no nothing, because the law points you in the right direction of what's true in history.
Well, it is, but like Mike said, or Mike brought up, that they broke their own rules. You know, let's write a contract, call it the Constitution, and then violate it.
Right. Be that as it may.
How does that work, you know?
We're waiting for the next Boston Tea Party, and no one's willing to do it. In a metaphorical sense.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that there could have been some type of play and all that. But that's what we're waiting on. Waiting for people to say enough's enough and not let them be governed as sheep, as herd mentality. Because that's what we're dealing with right now. It's all herd mentality. 100th monkey syndrome.
But Nate, if they do not know what is right, how can we get them to wake up and do what's right?
Well, you got to expose the shepherds in the wolves' clothing, or the wolves in the shepherds' clothing, and you got to become the shepherd. That's the only way it's going to work. Because everybody's still a sheep. It's just you got to point to the fake shepherd versus the real shepherd.
Well, if we wait for a majority to wake up, we will die slaves.
Well, that's why I got out over 20 years ago. And, you know, when I started People's Awareness Coalition, America's Road Home, they don't want to go home.
Oh.
I have to say, I was talking to another PAC person today. He Skyped me and messaged me. And I said, well, at least I got something right. He goes, you've got a lot of things right as far as I can see. And I go, well, yeah, knock it off. Stop that. But the one thing I did get wrong is my point here is I thought people would want to be free. I was totally wrong. I was totally delusionally stupid. I can't believe how chicken. What's that word I came up with on the fly that day?
Pussy moron.
Pussy morons that people are, or they're delusional, you know. But they make up excuses left and right. So, you know, I was totally wrong. I totally misinterpreted people. Totally. When I found out I was a slave because of the system, I didn't want anything to do with it, especially when I found out they left a way out. And the only thing that enslaves me now are the people that don't want to do anything. And that's why I came to the conclusion a few years ago, I don't have a people. These people are all communists. Weak right. People.
You're sitting in the house of the Republic that no one else lives in.
Yeah, Lee Brobst had that right, and he said something similar to what I just said.
Right.
I'm maybe saying it because he said it, but he did say that. He said something to the effect. If you would have told me 25 years ago when I got into this that people didn't want to be free, I would have not believed you. So, what is it with people? Go ahead, Mike. You can probably give us an earful there.
I'm not sure. I just I try to break it down to common denominator. If you see a flock of sheep, go in and get one of them and pull them out and take them away from the slaughterhouse and take them about 200 yards away, and I guarantee you they'll turn around and run back to the flock so they can be slaughtered.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's why the sheep's eyes are on the side of their head.
But it's going to be, that I think is, when it comes to freedom, when it comes to rightful liberty, in my opinion, that's our biggest problem, is because everybody's sitting around waiting on a majority of people to wake up. And it's never going to happen. It has never happened in history.
We just need Soros to fund us.
It Soros, didn't happen during the revolution.
You are right, Mike. It hasn't happened. And it's not going to. Until something changes. And I've been saying for a long time that something that's going to change is I see that the federal government is going to bow out eventually. and they're going to hit a retention limit, being $30 trillion in debt, and you're going to end up seeing something happen where they bow out, and then we'll see who picks up the pieces at that point.
Well, let me run something by you. There's a virologist out there who won a Nobel Prize, who says that everyone who has taken the vaccine will die within 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yes. All right. And Dr. Tenpenny and Dr. Mikovich have both agreed with this. All right. So let's take a look at this in financial terms. Let's don't get all, oh, my goodness, people are going to die. Yeah, they are. But let's look at something. In the United States today, in IRAs and 401ks, there's something in the neighborhood of $30 trillion sitting there. If all these people die, along with all of the government employees and their retirement system, regardless of whether it's state, local, or federal, and all of their retirement systems, there is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of, maybe $40 to $45 trillion in all those funds. Now, if this huge population dies, where's that money go?
Government.
No.
Or the lender. Doesn't have to be paid back, right?
And also, here's another thing to think of. We're going to see inflation just like Argentina, just like Venezuela, and other places. We're going to see this inflation come on, and it's going to be heavy. And what's going to happen is people are going to be getting all of their checks from the government and everything else, but it's not going to be enough money to buy food. So that also, what we are seeing, I believe, and I completely believe this, we are seeing a massive replay of what happened to the Ukraine in 1932-33.
I mean, couldn't you say this is almost the precursor to another Great Depression that we're witnessing right now?
Oh, I think we've been in a Great Depression since 2008.
Well, at least, when they took us out the gold standard, that was it. There's no check and balance there. And as you can see, a lot of, debts, the debt has arisen since then. Not that there wasn't debt before, but at least there was some fiscal competence at the time, or the last, previous years. They don't even care anymore. And that's why we're seeing this hyperinflation now. It's gone up since Obama, right, Mike? Is that what you're referencing?
Oh, yes. Without a doubt, it's gone up. But what we're beginning to see now is even more. I mean, when you are seeing lumber at the, 300% inflation over the past few years, and yet I talked with a lady very near here who is involved in a company that works exclusively with the logging industry in the Southeast. And she said unequivocally that the loggers, the mills, no one's getting this money. This increase in price is going to someone else. It's not going to the producers. And then there's pictures of lumber yards sitting full of lumber, like there is no shortage. So why are we looking at inflated prices? Why are we looking at inflated prices for fuel? All of this is part of the big master scheme, and I believe it's just like the Ukraine in the 32-33 when the wonderful New York Times covered it up, what Stalin was doing when he starved about somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 9 million Ukrainians. And they had plenty of food, but it was a government-induced famine. And people believe that can't happen. The hell it can't.
Well, let's just say that is their end game, which is basically Ukraine, a second coming of the whole incident in Ukraine, and And same with the Great Depression. It seems like they've made America the whipping post for the rest of the world. And once we fall, the rest of the world falls, so to speak.
I don't think so, right?
What's that?
I don't think so. I think the master plan is the international bankers, the people who are in control, the people who are behind the scenes, are going to bleed America dry, throw it away, and then they will put their fortunes in China.
Well, that's kind of what I meant, in essence, is what I was basically saying. America kind of has to fall, and I think they're going to bankrupt it. Bankrupt the whole world to bring about one world currency that is essentially going to be ran through China, because I know China's already applied to be the world reserve currency. Now the United States has almost lost its credit rating with the IMF. So
they're going to squeeze every last nickel they can get out of this country.
Right, absolutely. I've been saying that for months now, that this whole COVID thing was the beginning of the consolidation of the wealth. Hardcore, extreme hyperinflation. You're just going to see money be deemed worth less and less and less and less. But they have to take out all the old system that has to be bled dry before they bring about the new system. But I think the new system is for a world economy, not just a United States, China, Israel, India. I think it's all going to be brought on one line and one owner, so to speak.
Oh, that's pretty obvious. I mean, that Israel president said that.
Well, have either of you guys ever read a book titled Confessions of an Economic Hitman?
Yeah, I know about Perkins.
No, I've not. I'm not familiar with it.
How did the international bankers deal with countries throughout, let's say from 1948 onward? The IMF would go into a country and go to a leader of a country and say, okay, look, guys, you could use some new highways, you could use some bridges. What about electricity? What about all of these things? Look, we're going to give you enough money that you can build all of this stuff. You can build this massive infrastructure. And they knew they were loaning this government and this country more money than they could ever repay. So they give them all of this money, but they give it to them under one stipulation. All of the work to create all of this, you have to employ our people. You have to employ our companies to build your highways. You have to employ our people to build your electrical infrastructure. You have to employ us. You can't hire anyone else. So then when they get all of this done and they've replayed the money story, all the money they have given them have ended up in the hands of their accomplices. They then tell the leader of that country, you're going to have to pay this back now. And they say, we just don't have the money right. Well, okay, you've got two choices. Give us all of your natural resources, all of your minerals, all of your oil, all of your timber, anything that you have. You give us all of that to pay this debt. And if you don't, then you will be invaded by the United States military.
Made up of women.
So you've got two choices. But see, what people cannot perceive is that now it's America that is being done that way. They have loaned more money than can ever be paid back. And everything that is done now has to be an approved contractor. If you get anything done, it has to be an approved contractor. In other words, the government has to approve whoever you use. So America is now just like the countries we did this way, just like Panama, just like, countless other countries in Central and South America. And in the Middle East, just like these countries that have been bled dry, America is now on that list. Now we are going to be bled dry. All of our resources are going to be taken. They don't want to take it with a war because that destroys infrastructure. So they do it with this financial fraud, and Nate, you're exactly right. They really hit high gear or overdrive with the COVID-19 deal.
Yep.
Well,
nothing's going to change until we change it.
But like you said, people have to do it themselves. And
right.
Like I said, Daniel Webster said in that statement he said back in the 1850s, whenever it was, can't tell exactly when it was. He died before the Civil War, but, you know, he was saying that, we're doing this thing here. That's what's going to happen. And it's going to be the people's fault because they trust the government. And that's just another, operative or person, minion that's telling people up front what needs to be done, or what's going to happen and what could be done. But he's basically saying that don't expect the government to take care of it. Individuals are going to have to take care of it. And that's basically what we're saying has to be done. Because the conspiracy is real. I think. It's pretty obvious, yeah. Right? So what's for dinner? That's a joke. Don't everyone laugh at once. Seems like no one's very talkative today. I'm not talkative, I'll admit it.
Well, that's okay. I fell asleep listening to myself.
Did you? So, Nate, do you have anything you want to go over? Hello?
Nate fell asleep listening to me, too?
I guess I put him to sleep. So is this a sign of giving up?
Never.
Never give up, right?
Nope. Oh, God. Looks like Nate left us. What'd you do? Did you make him mad, LB?
Probably. I make a lot of people mad. They just don't talk to me anymore. They don't answer the phone, whatever.
That's all right. I ignore you and talk to you at the same time.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't noticed.
Oh, I found it works very well.
There you go, being funny again. I don't know what to say.
Well, must be Humorous Tuesday.
Humorous Tuesday. I thought it was Taco Tuesday. There he is. Did you wake up or what's going on?
He's here. Never left.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't turn your camera off. Don't do that. It takes up bandwidth, man.
I turned it off.
Recordings get very big.
It defaulted back to it, LB. Oh, I didn't touch anything. It just all of a sudden when I joined the call, I came in and it brought up the camera.
It was Bill Gates, I'm sure. I had something to do that.
Yeah.
And did you look at that video? I think you did. I sent it to both of you. Yeah. He's growing breasts or something like that? Or what's that about?
Yeah, it's got to be a joke.
Might have been. I don't know. It's some funny stuff out there. It's humorous, but it's not too humorous. Oh, boy.
Teach me something, LB.
What?
I don't know.
What do you want to know?
Teach me something.
All I know is the 14th Amendment's bad. I wrote a book on it. People used to be interested in it, and it seems like they're not interested anymore. I don't know if it's too hard to read or the truth hurts or what the deal is.
I think about how many people you could get to read it if you told them if they would read it and do a book report, they got a stimulus check.
Oh, yeah. That might work. I don't have any stimulus checks, though. I can't get a dollar out of these people.
Hey, the government doesn't have any money anyway. That is the thing that has always amazed me. How damn stupid do you have to be to believe a government that is $29 trillion in debt can send you money? Come on.
That's my whole thing, when I found out what bondage was. And, you know, the debt of the United States, people are having to pay income tax basically because of that. I go, I didn't okay this debt. The one thing I like to use is an example is rape. It's not a pleasant topic. But, you know, defense lawyers use it as a one of their defenses against the presumed rapist. They would ask him, did she say no? No, she didn't. So Americans are doing the same thing. They're participating, like you get upset by voting, you know, upset at people, Mike, by them voting and whatever. They're getting these stimulus checks. They're getting all kinds of other things from the government. So they're not saying no. So the point is they like being raped. Does that kind of make sense?
Well, people who vote are basically telling you, look, I believe that I have the right to force my will on you using government to accomplish it. Prove me wrong.
Well, it's true. And that's one of the main reasons I got out is because I'm not... I didn't okay this stuff, you know?
I got a question for you, LB.
Go ahead.
How are all of those wonderful people who believe that the great Trump is going to ride back in on his big white steed and totally take back America? How many of those people might have been put back a little bit last week on Fox News when he said he was the father of the vaccine?
He is, isn't he?
He said if it hadn't have been for him, we wouldn't have it. He's the one who pushed the CDC and everybody to get it in a hurry. Operation Warp Speed.
Sure.
And without him, we still wouldn't have a vaccine. Now, I haven't seen a bunch of these people who thought that all we needed back in January and February, all we needed to recover this country was to have Trump and the military do a complete takeover of the government. I haven't heard any of them telling people how wonderful it is now that Trump is the father of the vaccine they don't want to take.
Yeah, John Breeson, her friend John Breeson, sent me something a while back. It's months and months ago, about how Trump is involved in making money off the vaccines. Some documentation, so.
Why wouldn't he be?
There you have it. He's a hidden hander, too. So, that's the name of that tune. Like I was saying earlier, you can't trust anyone. If they're in government, it's pretty much a given that they're part of the problem. I have to apologize. I'm not feeling too good, guys. So that goes for the audience, too. I'm having real trouble carrying this today. So someone's going to have to do it. Really, we're pretty quiet today. I'm not blaming you two, but I am, too.
LB, you could just whistle Dixie.
No, I can't. I don't know that song that well. So what else can I teach you?
I don't know. Teach me what you know.
I know a bit about law, but that goes without saying. You know, it, what do they follow? I think you said it. Who really enforces it? These guys are clowns, you know.
bad. I found that out firsthand.
Yep.
How much clowns people are. I mean, they can't even decipher sections 2, 3, and 4 at the judicial, the local district judicial level. I don't think they can.
14th Amendment, you mean?
Yeah, I don't believe they can even decipher it at this point. They have absolutely no idea even what it means.
I don't think they care.
There's probably a little bit of that too.
They're so used to getting away with everything. That's how they operate, you know.
Here's the deal. My question is, if the law's on the books, the law's on the books for a reason. If you can't use the law, that means they're fraudulently not letting you have access to law. That means it's done under fraud. How do we get them to admit on open record that they're doing it under fraud? That's where it comes down to. You need to be so slick-tongued with these people to entrap them in their own game with their contempt of what they're not following and adhering to. That's the only way it's going to ever work. If you get them to screw up on record to the point where you entrap them in their own game. But you got to be good. You have to be really good.
That's pretty easy, really, but...
Well, I understand it's pretty easy, but you got to be good and you got to know your stuff. If you don't know your stuff, it's not very easy.
No, I think I know what you're getting at. Most people that get their education off YouTube, where they have no idea where the information is coming from or the material, they're not going to do very well in court.
Well, something I just thought of today is I remember them talking about, and I don't know if it ever went into effect, but they said that there will be no longer, you will no longer have access to case law. And that was like 2 years ago that the Supreme Court and General Barr, not Attorney General Barr, were talking about that, about not having access to case law. Well, if that's truly the case, wouldn't that really make a really a big precedent for everybody who's actually trying to utilize the rule of law and not case law whatsoever, because case law is all considered arbitrary anyways? So in essence, it's actually helping the du jour faction of people that want to truly be on the du jour side of things in common law, that if they are actually following the rule of law, well, it's the opposite of their code. It's almost like they like hung themselves on that by not giving us access to the case law. Is they're almost hanging themselves in the actual common law. But people have to be smart enough to understand what they're doing.
And that's true, but, you know, what did he mean by that? See, I don't trust these people.
Well, it's like you always say, you read it, what, back in 91? We follow the rule of law? Didn't George Bush Sr. say it multiple times over, or we have the law of the jungle?
Right.
Well, you got to hold these people. I mean, isn't that the highest form? I mean, by someone saying that publicly, as the president, doesn't that not hold some type of weight that carries on procedurally throughout the country in the court of law, essentially?
Yeah, but these guys are clowns.
Well, I understand they're clowns, but that's why we have to be better than the clowns. That's why we have to be the true shepherd, not let these wolves in shepherd's clothing keep on shepherding the people into their own demise. Enough's enough.
Yeah, I agree with that. Most people don't care, though.
Well, I'm not talking about most people. I'm talking about a very small handful of people, because I truly believe it only takes 1,000 people, country, state to statewide, or in the union, in each state, to actually turn this thing around to a
1,000?
1,000 of people that know it, like you do, like I do, like my daddy does.
I think it would take less than 1,000.
You think less than 1,000?
Think so.
I was looking at it like 20 in each state, because the 20 in each state is pretty much 1,000 people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I thought you meant each state.
No. I'm saying like 20. No,
I figured 100 would be sufficient.
Right.
But no one's willing to do it, it seems like, you know?
Well, it's not that they're not willing to do it. It's just nobody knows where to start. And the problem is no one has read the Red Amendment all the way through, or even got their hands on it. And that's why I always have said, it's if we could get certain demographics of people to be able to buy it at their whatever and read it and understand it. I mean, if you get 100,000 people to buy the book for $20, I mean, that pays for itself. That pays for PAC. That pays for everything that goes on within the movement.
I understand that, but no one's willing to help. You know, that guy I mentioned earlier, his name's George. He actually wrote the wiki article that they had down for PAC within 3 days. And Synagogue of Satan member headed that off. Yeah, they've been after me for a long time as far as spreading the truth. But he quit. He gave up because they took that article down.
Well,
you know, so
this comes back to, this is why we cannot use their platforms. If the Synagogue of Satan is in control of the platform that we're using, we can't be part of it.
No, I agree with that, but people can't get that through their head. You know. They look to these platforms as, you know, that's where all the people are, you know. They're like sheep. Gets back to what Mike said about the sheep earlier. Or was it you that said they go back to the slaughterhouse?
That was Mike. Well, I mean, so, but that's the 100th monkey syndrome, too, where the rest of the monkeys are beating the other monkey because they don't want them to go get the food at the top of the ladder. I mean, it's the same concept.
So you've looked at the 100th monkey principle or syndrome?
Yeah, many times over.
Yeah.
Right, and that's all you have now is, and honestly, the sovereign citizen movement has even made it worse for the discerning citizen out there. For the United States citizen that discerns from their government, and as soon as you bring up anything law based, oh, that's sovereign citizen stuff. And it's like the 100th monkey syndrome. They heard it and they said, oh, this is bad, but they don't understand what's bad and what's real and what's not.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think they set the sovereign citizen movement up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's another one of their planned programs or planned opposition programs. They do that a lot, you know.
Yeah, all the time.
Didn't take a few months for him to infiltrate this group we had down in Phoenix. The FBI came in. They wanted to start doing illegal things.
Right.
I don't know, where's entrapment in the Constitution? Oh, wait, that's probably the 14th Amendment government. That's what they do. That's how they roll. Entrapment's one of their tools. And they're maintaining toolbox. It's how they maintain the system and trap the citizen.
And they do. The child. By their willful ignorance.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. Of course, it didn't work for us. We got rid of
them. Right.
But thanks to the leader of the group, was a little smarter than the average bear. It was nice that he had inside information to people, too, or the names. But, yeah, they've done a lot of that the last 10 years or so. 20 years, for sure. They've really gone after, you know, any groups that have started, infiltrated, and taken them down. Without the people knowing the law, that's going to be easy to do. Unfortunately. Oh, boy. Anyway, this is the ultimate remedy. We got a break coming up, I think. Sorry we're not on top of it today. I guess everyone's kind of in a humdrum mood. But that's what you have these days with the COVID deal and whatever else is going on. So we'll be back in about, let's say, 5 minutes or less after station announcements. Stay tuned. We'll try to be more perky next hour.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
You're listening to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork.
Hey, we're back. Hope everyone's stuck with us, even though it's kind of an off day. Have to apologize one more time. This is The Ultimate Remedy. My name's L.B. Bork. Been at this 25 years or more. I've been ready. I'm ready when you're ready. Time to get ready. Mike.
What?
So, how are things down by the peanut farmer?
Oh, it's going fine, but I just had a great idea, LB.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
Why don't you tell everybody that you're going to have a lottery, and who will buy your book gets a free COVID-19 shot, and then there will be a drawing for a special prize, which shall be mentioned later.
Is that a booby prize?
Well, you can call them boobies or whatever you want to. I don't care.
Sounds like you're making fun of Ohio.
Me?
Yeah.
Ohio.
Making fun of someone?
Yeah, Ohio. You know, Mike DeWine and his ridiculous COVID-19 vaccination incentive program.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I didn't know what you're getting at, but I get it now.
Well, LB, if you just tell everyone who will buy your book, The Red Amendment, that you will give them make sure they get a free COVID-19 shot. Government will probably give you a subsidy for that.
How do we know that people are really getting this? I heard they're not doing too well with it. Is this true?
Well, that's why Trump came out to say he was the father of the vaccine. They got to get the rest of the people turned around. And, you know, if a person believes that Trump coming back in as a military dictator is a good thing, they would probably take a shot if Trump told them he was the father of it.
Wasn't what they did with the military presence during the transition pretty much a military operation, don't you think?
You know, our founders tried to warn us, the good founders, not the Federalist founders, but those other guys. They tried to warn us about a standing army, but nobody wants to listen.
Yeah. So are they still there? I haven't paid attention. Or did they get to go home?
Who cares?
You're not paying for it, right?
Yeah. I don't care. Let them stay there and guard, you know, whatever it is they want to guard. I don't care. That makes no difference to me. But really, LB, I seriously think you ought to consider this thing. And if I can, please, before I forget about it, I've got this thing on Telegram for those people who have Telegram on your phones or on your laptops or what have you. I've got a program there called Rebel Madman. Would love to have you folks come over, and perhaps we can exchange some information that you might appreciate. Thank you for that unsolicited announcement, LB.
Sure, no problem. You can talk more about your programs if you'd like.
Well, you know, what I have found, and this has been my philosophy for quite some time. I think you teach better by asking questions than you do by lecturing.
Okay.
And so that's why I think that questions are, you know, at least a person, if you ask them a question and they answer it in their own heads, they remember it longer than they do if you're lecturing. And so one of my favorite questions is, we have been at war since 2001, since October of 2001. We have been at war in this country, and we have all of these people in the military all fighting for our freedom. Well, if they've been fighting for our freedom for 20 years now, why do we have so many fewer freedoms than we did when they started?
Well, that's a question that, you know, needs to be answered or thought about at least by people.
Well, you and Nate answer that question for me while I go back to sleep.
Obvious, they're lying to us constantly. What's up is down, and what's down is up. No one understands that now.
Wait a minute, Nate, you're telling me these people aren't heroes?
Not at all.
Oh, my. I'm going to, I need a safe spot. Where can I get to a safe spot? Nate's talking bad.
Well, it's not that they're not heroes. It's just they would be a hero if they would actually understand the contract they were signing before they actually signed it. Then that would call them a hero.
So you're telling me that all of these people who pledged an oath to uphold and defend a constitution that they probably have no idea what's in it, and then they run off with guns and stuff that they can't own as civilians, and they go off to foreign countries and kill people for international bankers. You're trying to tell me these people aren't heroes?
Correct, sir. That's correct.
Oh, my world's shattered.
How many people really do you think know that fact? Or are they just by that that's what they're for. Or that's what they're doing, keeping America free.
America!
How do you spell that? M-U-R-I-K-A?
America, yeah.
America?
America.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little bit more to that, but we're not able to say it the whole way it needs to be.
I've got another one. If we've got this government that is just, you know, downright evil, and it enslaved the black race for 80 some years, and then, you know, it went out west and other places, and it killed, you know, American Indians, especially in the Southeast too, early on, and yes, they killed all these people. You know, what should we do to a government like that? Pledge allegiance to his flag?
Well, I hate to say it, Mike, but give them the chance to repent. If they don't, well, they get the treason clause of the punishment of treason. And that's how it should be.
Well, I've got another question, guys. We have a flag that flew over slavery in this country for 87 years. We've got another flag that flew over slavery for 4 years. Why am I supposed to hate that one that only flew over slavery for 4 years and pledge allegiance to the other one?
That's what you're told to do.
I've never been good at that, Nate.
You're bringing up some hard questions for people.
Well, you know, these are questions that keep me awake at night. Here's another question. Why is it that people who claim that they really, really like Patrick Henry and give me liberty or give me death support the government that he opposed?
Great question.
Well, they don't talk about him much, see.
Wait a minute. Let's talk about it.
Real quick, Mike. Honestly, what it is, it's because most Christians who believe in Patrick Henry don't realize they are worshiping Satan.
You guys have just really messed my day up. I'm going home.
No, we did it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I've asked you some very simple questions, guys. Come on, help me out here.
I thought I'd given you good responses.
But you aren't making me feel better, Nate.
Oh, you want a participation trophy?
Yes, I want to feel better about this.
That's the second time you brought that up today, the participation trophy thing.
Oh, yeah, I brought it up to you, too.
Earlier, huh? People that think silly believe in that stuff.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I want you guys to help me with that one about the flag. I mean, you know, I can do math. You know, I can do simple math. You know, I can even take off my socks if I need to count, you know, up higher than 10. How can a flag that flew over slavery for 87 years, how can that be the one I pledge allegiance to, and that one that flew over slavery for 4 years is terrible and should be, no one should ever be allowed to hold that thing up?
Because the TV said so.
Well, I think the one that stands for slavery, I think we should give that one to Black Lives Matter.
Oh, so I've got to listen. LB, help me out here. I've got to listen to a lobotomy box?
Well, yeah, if you want to be in with the crowd, you have to.
And those plastic heads in there talking, I'm supposed to believe them? Next thing you know, you'll be trying to tell me that I should think Rachel Maddow's hot.
Let's don't go there.
You guys aren't helping.
You know, it's really sickening that she makes a lot of money.
They all make a lot of money.
But, you know, it doesn't make me want to join the evil side. It's hard to be humble.
That's what Mac Davis said.
See, I still say this is his song. I still say the whole thing's based on prosperity. If we show the ranks of prosperity in the side of state nationals, more people would come to it overnight.
You're not going to be able to do that when they shut you down in every, you know, every corner.
I get it.
You go to. You know, people don't have, what do you call it? They won't sacrifice for one thing.
And I don't have any wherewithal.
They don't understand the bondage issue. I mean, supposedly the Egyptians that were released, or the Israelites that were released from bondage of Egypt, only were paying less than 20% in taxes, I think. And they were considered in bondage. Americans are paying over half that in total taxes. So, you know, all their labors go to half the government or wherever it goes. That's probably three times more than they were paying. See, the problem is people don't know what bondage is. They think it's something kinky that's in a movie or something. They really don't understand slavery. And I know Patrick Henry knew about these things.
So what's your favorite quote from Patrick Henry, gentlemen?
That's the only one I know is "Give me liberty, give me death," really, to be honest. I haven't studied enough lately. Even if I did know something from the past, I can't remember it.
Nate?
Same as LB. I'm guilty of only knowing the one.
Well, what if? What do you think about? He said, "Fear is the passion of slaves."
That's a good one. It's a truism.
What if he said, "Hope, we shall listen to the siren song of hope until we are all turned into beasts."
Sounds about right.
You have a list there, or are you taking these off the top of your head?
No, these come out of my head, buddy.
That's pretty good. Some days I have those visions.
Oh, you have Patrick Henry days?
No, not Patrick Henry days. Things I remember.
Well, I'm going to tell you something he said that I didn't hear anyone else say during this period of time, during the constitutional debates. I never heard anyone make this statement but him. Now, that's certainly the Federalist didn't say it. But Patrick Henry said, "I consider myself as the servant of the people of this Commonwealth, as a sentinel over their rights, liberty, and happiness." Now, who else ever said that? Who else in our founding history said, "My job is to protect the rights, the liberty, and the happiness of the people"?
Jefferson?
Nope.
No, he didn't say that. He's better than most, but he wasn't our guy, like John Breeson likes to say.
Well, let's think about, let's compare that with that wonderful gentleman who chopped down a cherry tree.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
And couldn't tell a lie. Okay, let's look at a letter that he wrote to Gouverneur Morris, wherein he said, "Experience has taught us that men will not adopt and carry into execution measures the best calculated for their own good without the intervention of a coercive power. And Congress has too frequently made use of the suppliant, humble tone of requisition in applications to the states when they had a right to assume their imperial dignity and to command obedience." What's the difference in what he just said and what Patrick Henry said?
I have to see it.
Pardon me?
I think we suffer from the same study It's hard to envision things unless we're looking at the text. I'm really not feeling too well, so it's hard for me to concentrate without going into details.
I understand that, but you guys are telling me that you can't see the difference between the guy who says I'm here to protect your rights and the other one who says I'm here to take your rights by force?
Oh, there's a definite difference there, but you're saying that he was the only one that said that.
Patrick Henry was the only one who said he was the servant of the people.
So how's that work? It seems that nothing has really changed. These socialist types think they're doing good for people.
Well, let's compare that with what Gouverneur Morris said at the Philadelphia Convention. Quote, "This country must be united. If persuasion does not unite it, the sword will." Unquote. Now, how does that compare with what Patrick Henry said?
It's not in the same category.
But these people will tell you, you talk around or talk with people, and they'll tell you how wonderful the Federalists were, but how, you know, who are those anti-Federalists? Oh, they were just wrong.
Rabble-rousers. Yeah, I find it amazing that those papers were buried until, what'd you say, 1940? 45, somewhere in there?
Well, the Federalists, the anti-Federalists were written out of history. In America, in academia especially, in any history books, starting in about 1835 to 1840. They were not mentioned anymore until the 1950s. So over 100 years, the Anti-Federalists were not mentioned. And then they were only mentioned when a professor thought, hey, I'll make some hay here. I'll criticize those guys again. And she wrote a paper and gave a dissertation called O Ye Men of Little Faith, where she blasted the Anti-Federalists for not having the faith to believe in the Constitution. And then a lot of historians, including Herbert J. Storing, woke up, Saul Cornell woke up, and they went, oh my gosh, look at what these people wrote. We haven't heard about this for 100 years. Well, why would you silence someone for 100 years?
So a woman did this in the 50s?
Yes.
And she thought she was going to give them hell?
Yeah, she was piling on.
What I say about women getting involved in politics and things are getting worse?
I don't know. I have a problem figuring out who they is most of the time.
I got it defined in my book, if you want to look at it.
I think it's just because they is we aren't. We're not part of their little agenda.
Did you say no? Well, I guess you did.
Yes, I did. I'm going to fight tooth and nail.
Well, let me read you guys, if I may, a paragraph from one of my articles. Since everybody's kind of sleepy, I'll put everybody to sleep for good here. Okay.
I doubt that.
To completely understand the history of this country's founding, some uncomfortable truths must be faced. Had members of the wealthy aristocracy had their way, there would have never been a war or separation from England. Most of them could trace their wealth to their association with the crown. It was the backwoods farmer and common man who tired quickly of supporting an oppressive government, which they saw as totally unnecessary in their lives. The fire eaters of the backwoods were largely responsible for the creation of the Articles of Confederation. Unfortunately, they had little to nothing to do with the creation of the Constitution of 1787. In my opinion, therein lies the problem. For the wealthy aristocracy sought a form of government with which they were familiar and comfortable and which preserved and protected their wealth and power. A monarchy consisting of a highly centralized authority with no accommodation whatsoever to the will of the common man. Unquote.
Well, the will of the common man is consented into the 14th Amendment, so the will of the common man is gone. There is no more will of the common man.
Well, I would contend that the will of the common man went out the window with the Constitution of 1787.
Yeah, but how long did Patrick Henry live after that?
Patrick Henry only lived to 1799, guys.
So the will wasn't gone yet, because I guarantee he didn't consent to that BS.
Nope. Have you guys ever heard of Harlow Giles Unger?
No.
Okay, well, let me read you a little bit from Mr. Harlow Giles Unger, since we're in the sleepy mode here. And I quote, "Indeed, few but the world's most disgruntled citizens would have paid any attention to it," which was the "it" was excessive taxation brought on by the expenses of war. And that was the French and Indian War. "Except in North America, where settlers isolated in the hamlets and woods of New England had lived free of almost all government authority for more than 150 years. They had cleared the land, felled great forests, built homes and churches, planted their fields, hunted, fished, and fought off Indian marauders on their own, cooperating with each other, collectively governing themselves, electing their militia commanders and church pastors, and turning to assemblies of elders to mediate occasional disputes. Self-reliant, often courageously so, they had thought and acted independently for four or more generations, seldom hearing, let alone responding, to utterances from the church throne or parliament in far-off London. Like Patrick Henry, they had lived in freedom without government intrusion in their lives and saw little need for government. Nor had London objected. With a wealth of lumber, furs, pelts, and other resources flowing across the Atlantic to enrich British merchants, the British government had left the American colonists free to govern themselves and trade with the world. In 1651, however, Parliament began to interfere in colonial affairs after Dutch cargo ships began capturing more and more of the trade between America and Europe, threatening the health of Britain's merchant fleet. Parliament passed a series of navigation acts, which one by one over the next 50 years banned all American trade with any country but England and forced all ocean-going trade onto British or American bottoms. Although galled by parliamentary intrusions in their affairs, most New England lumbermen and shipbuilders profited handsomely from the Navigation Acts and the massive expansion of the British and American fleets they engendered. In any case, smuggling goods onto unguarded landing points avoided duties altogether. The unexpected economic collapse that followed the Seven Years' War, however, left New Englanders easy prey for Boston's rabble-rousers and the frenzied warnings that the stamp tax would bankrupt them, with their economy tied to tobacco and agriculture rather than shipbuilding. Virginians and most other Southerners were less agitated," unquote. There's history for you people.
So what's a modern-day version of something like that?
Modern-day version is, you know, one of my favorite anti-federalists, Samuel Bryan, made a classic point. He said, they are telling us that if we don't adopt this Constitution, we'll have anarchy. He said, I would rather have anarchy than this Constitution. So what is anarchy? Anarchy is what I just described that the people for four or five generations did on their own. Anarchy is not the government definition of people blowing things up. That is a perversion of the word. It means without government. These people did fine without government. Government in the history of man has never done anything but oppress the people that it controls. That's the nature of the beast.
So you're saying they created a duality in the term anarchy?
Well, what they did is just like I read on what Mr. Unger wrote about. And that book was published back in 1840-something, I believe. So he knew from whence he spoke. But what he was saying was these people work together with each other in a community where everybody was working together, and they elected their own pastors. They voted for them. They turned any problem that came up between the people, they turned it over to the elders.
That was more of a local government.
Well, guys, you know, people say you've got to have government. For what? What do you have to have government for? Because government of and by itself will always be, will always turn on the individual. It has to. That's natural evolution of government. It always happens. It always has throughout history.
Well, do you think it's just a coincidence that the ones who run government are the elitists?
No. No way in hell. That, you know, they buy their way into those positions. What guy out here working a 50, 60-hour week can afford to run for office? Alexander Hamilton said that the government should be run by the wealthy aristocracy because, and just like George Washington said in that letter to Gouverneur Morris, these people don't have a right to know what's best for them. We do. That's exactly the attitude that Washington had. That's exactly the attitude that the Washington City has today.
Yes.
They know better than the people do what they need.
Well, at this point, they probably do because everybody lives so unnaturally. They couldn't live naturally if they wanted to.
That's true. It's gotten bad. Can't agree on that, can we?
What's that? They got bad? Oh,
it's it's bad out there.
I mean,
people have become socialized. They don't think they're socialists, but they are.
I mean, what are you doing for food when they shut down the grocery store?
For growing potatoes. I like potatoes.
Right? But it's a lost art, LB.
No, I know it is.
Everybody just sits around waiting for the other person looking at them like deer in the headlight. When are you going to do something? What? When are you going to do something? It's the same game.
Well, my whole thing is you get started by saying no. So.
You got to start somewhere.
Start somewhere, right. I know a lot of people criticize the Amish, but they need to know more about what's going on. But at least they're trying. They got their communities together.
Government's about to go after them.
You think so?
Yep.
What are you seeing?
They're trying to socialize their communities into the de facto system. Almost absorb them into it.
In what respect? What are you seeing?
Just about what they're going to end up pushing with the with licensing. And that's going to be the beginning of it. They want everyone to be licensed.
What, to run their buggies?
Essentially, an operator's license. A road usage license. But that's just the beginning of it. Once that domino falls, the next will fall, the next will fall. And the ones that resist, they'll get treated like the Native Americans. That's not written in the children's history books.
Hey, Nate.
Yes.
Did you know most of the people I know, most of the American Indians I know, and I have lived on reservations, you know most of them really resent being called a Native American?
Do they really?
Yes.
I've heard that before, but I've also heard it the other way as well.
Well, I think the new indoctrinated ones use it because it's popular. But I can tell you that I had an Oglala Sioux tell me one time that don't call me Native American. You're a Native American. I'm an American Indian. And if you want to, I really don't even like that. If you want to know, I'm an Oglala. And the Navajo will tell you, I'm Diné. They will tell you their tribal name. They don't like being all lumped into one group and being called Native Americans.
When you say their tribal name, wouldn't that be also considered their tribal nation name?
In some respects, that's yes.
Yeah,
again, we're talking about an indigenous people that recognized nationality long before common law, natural law, so to speak, in the English was put on this continent.
Right. Well, you know, if, I lived on the Navajo reservation for some time, thoroughly enjoyed it, really enjoyed the culture, really enjoyed the people. You know, they have some differences in the way they do things. Some of them I think would be preferable to the way we do things. I thoroughly enjoyed, and one of the things I was really happy for was being able to immerse my children in a totally different culture. And that was, to me, that was invaluable for them and for us.
Designating them as nations is pulling them into the international law to be, you know, jerked around like everyone else.
Well, you know, the it was really, really neat to be able to spend time with them. One of the things I enjoyed more than anything else was the twice annual cattle drives, and to work with them driving the cattle to the high pasture in the spring, and to go up and round the cattle up in the high country and bring it down into the lowlands for the wintertime. And those were just some fantastic times together with folks. And, you know, you find out, at least I did, that through your differences, you're still very much alike.
About questing for freedom or?
Well, yes.
Just as people.
That is a huge thing. People at their heart want to be free. They don't want to be bullied, pushed around, or anything else. And at their heart, they're that way. A funny thing happened. There's a very good friend of mine. When I asked him, we were talking about the names, and he said he preferred to be called Oglala. And I said, well, what do you think about the term Indian? And he said, oh, we know where that came from. He said, I don't find it offensive. He said, but we know that Columbus, pardon me, that Columbus was hunting for America and found the West Indies, and we became Indians. He said, I understand that. He said, I'm just damn glad he wasn't hunting for turkey. Were you gentlemen aware that in many of the American Indian tribes, they're matriarchal societies?
Yeah, I suppose I had. I didn't think about it much. It's pretty much natural for most societies to be that way, cultures. Well,
there was one tribe I knew of that only the men could hold office, but only the women could vote.
That's interesting.
Well, anyway, I've tried here, guys. You guys are, I've put you all to sleep, so time for someone else to come up with.
No, man, I'm hurt, man. I can't wait for the hour to finish out. I can't say how much. I think I know what happened, so just having trouble thinking, concentrating right now.
Well, I'm sorry for your pain there, my friend.
Yeah, it is. It's not good. It just started when we started today, so kicking like a mule.
Sorry to hear that.
Nope. So, Nathan, you're going to have to carry things.
I mean, it always comes back to the same merry-go-round. I just am waiting for people to get off of it. I mean, it's time. And that's what we all talk about week in and week out, is when are people going to wake up? It seems like it's the common theme. And like last week, we talked about the mental
slavery,
the mental prison, the mental slavery. Uh-huh. You know, Justice Black said it right in his one conclusion. The chief enemy of Republican freedom is mental sloth. Why would he tell us that if it wasn't true? He's telling us the truth. I mean, it absolutely is mental sloth. So that being said, we are enslaved mentally. So when people want to get off this merry-go-round, I mean, I don't know. I don't believe it's going to be by choice. I think they're going to be thrown off at a very, very, very hard impasse, and it's not going to be fun for most people who aren't awake to understand what's coming.
Well, why don't we just agree, guys, that they aren't going to wake up?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. But when you say that, I also look at there's going to be a certain demographic that does wake up. So our target audience needs to be at the ones who are the ones that are going to wake up. Because I still say it's going to be somewhere between 1 and 2% that actually wake up. And 1 or 2% of 324 million is like 10 million people, is it not?
I think there is that percentage right now, but they're not working to do anything. Well, from what I hear, just everyone wants to start shooting people.
That's dumb.
Yeah, I know it's dumb.
It's dumb, but I will say, this is where things get dicey. When you have a government that's restricting the common law from being practiced, what else do you got to go with?
This whole system's set up to fail.
Well, it's set up for anarchy. It's set up to be complete, utter chaos. This is order out of chaos at its finest.
Wait a minute, Nate. You called chaos anarchy, and that's not at all what anarchy means.
Well, I'm looking at it in the government's term of what they've stolen the term to be. So, yes, I do understand about the anarchy that was done long ago where they left and they didn't have a government, where the people ran themselves. And they were basically anarchy against tyranny, which is what we have now. And I understand that.
Well, guys, this is not new. Let's go back. We can go to Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 8 is pretty descriptive of a mass of people who offered freedom prefer a king.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think that people are awakening now where they realize that all men king are futile, but that's a very small faction.
But stimulus checks.
Yeah, it really stimulated me.
If you didn't get one, don't tell me
that. Oh, heck no. I'm just saying that watching everybody else get theirs really stimulated me. To make me go, yeah, I will. Whoa, man, I wish I would get back in the system to get me $1,200. Woo!
It's $100 a month for a year. It's righteous right. Bucks.
Right.
But the way people live today, that's a lot of money. They might be suffering for months and months, but to get that much money out just out of the blue, because everyone lives hand to mouth anyway.
Yeah, I read that thing I told you about where they actually look at the middle class as anybody living paycheck to paycheck, and that's $60,000 per household all the way up to $500,000 or $550,000 per household.
Didn't used to be that way.
Paycheck. Well, it just shows that they've created different demographics in the purchasing power of your society.
Yeah, they've lessened it. It's slowly eroded away, you know. The middle class. Well, that's what communism does. Takes out the middle class. And the rich get richer.
Right. I mean, I look at Walmart for the liberal Democrats, and I look at Target for the communist Republicans. The red store and the blue store.
That's true.
Yep.
No one ever talks about the stars being flipped on the Republican logo much.
But
back in 2001.
Which is, done 2 or 3 months prior to 9/11 happening?
Supposedly, yeah. I wasn't paying that much attention at the time. But I still think they're throwing the Democrats under the bus.
I don't. I think they've dumbed down society enough to push the Democratic narrative on people. And they are the ones that are going to create the chaos effect in the society.
Well, they are creating that.
Right. And it's not going to, there's not going to be any let up. There's just not. There's just going to be one party coming out of both. I still say
possibly.
To me, it has to happen that way.
Now, my friend John said that he doesn't see where that would be advantageous for them to get rid of the Democrats like I thought they might.
why it's advantageous is because they already have it complete. Socialism is worldwide now.
Yeah, it is.
Complete. So why do they need a two-party system anymore?
To keep the false narrative going on.
I think they've dumbed down people far enough. They don't need it.
That's what I thought too, but we'll see. We know their goal is totalitarian dictatorships. And it's been like the Velvet Globe being on the last 150 years. And it seems to be coming off now.
Right.
One finger at a time, you know.
Right.
Some people I know say, well, at least I'm old and don't have to put up with it that long. Kind of shake my head at that attitude.
That's a cop out.
It is. It's not good. Especially when the people that say that have children. That shows you the digression of what's really happened.
Well, and
why I say everyone's about themselves. They don't care about anyone. So, you know what Christ proposed could never happen at this juncture.
Well, it can for a small demographic of people.
It could, yes. But at large, no way.
No, not at all.
Americans are totally about themselves. You know, the majority.
Yeah, it's quite incredible.
That's why I gave you that clip that included what Julian Edney said, the guy that wrote Greed. You know, some guy I used to know. I don't know. He's a Mason, I think, but he said Julian Edney's a socialist. And I go, I don't think so. There's a difference between the socialism we're living under and caring about one's community. But this guy is all about himself, you know. What I described in that footnote in the libertarian paper I had written years ago. Libertarians are just perpetuating or sustaining the system. And they just care about themselves. They don't care about society as a whole. That's where I'm different. You can't be free amongst a bunch of ignorant people. And that's the most maddening part of all this. It's because they don't care. You know, they're causing all these problems. Well, some people say, you know, you can't do anything about it. So I guess that's it. Can't fight City Hall. You know, came up with that saying, right? City Hall. Or these elitists that we talked about. Anyway, the chat room's going wild here. Alien agenda. All right. Yeah, they're selling that crap too now. You know, all of a sudden, you know, there's aliens. They've been hiding for years. Who was that brought that up? Wasn't that Ronald Reagan? That was used as one of their ploys back in the 80s, I believe. It, you know, just think of, well, it was in the movie Independence Day, they portrayed if aliens were invaded the Earth, everyone of Earth would band together to fight off the aliens. Mitchell's on next. Trump assassination files. He's still on that, I guess. He's still being assassinated politically. So I guess he's going to come back. According to a lot of people, like Mike was talking about.
It sounds like Jesus.
It'll be interesting, right?
Yeah. I wonder how he's going to wear a yarmulke and a Vatican hat. They need to come out with like a hybrid one.
Think he's in with the Jesuits?
Oh, absolutely. Went to Fordham University.
Right. Well, Pence didn't come through for him.
No, but he went through the Vatican indoctrination program for the first 15 years of his life. He was going to be a high-ranking diocese. Or a bishop. Yeah, Pence was, and he dropped out of the Catholic ranks. Yeah, he dropped out of the Catholic ranks in like 05 or 06 and went into the American politics, which I think he was a mole for the Vatican to upend the evangelical society. Because that's what he became. He became an evangelical Christian, but yet he's having sit-down meetings with the Pope, and he's the only vice president to ever do so. So what's that tell you?
All right. Still don't understand why Israel and the Vatican don't team up, because Jesus was a Jew.
They already have.
I know.
It's Team Satan. Come on, get with the program.
I know.
Go.
Yeah, Satan. Some other people have said that too when I bring that up. You know what I'm talking about. The average person that believes in Judeo-Christianity.
The average lemming. Just going off.
The average lemming.
They tell him to. Yeah. Sorry for my cynical nature, people.
I was trying to think of that word today. I couldn't think of what it was.
What, cynical?
And then I thought of it. Yeah, cynical.
Yeah.
I tend to be cynical for whatever reason. No, not me. So, yeah, if you want to read any of my papers, you can go to any search engine. Plug in packandlaw.us. I think Google has something like site or something like that, colon, and then you put the website in, and then it brings up everything. And there's a lot of pages with my articles. And even my friend Mylene was saying, could you send me some of the ones you're talking about? Because you have so many of them, I can't keep track of them all. And I was talking about how worthless the movement was, and there's about three or four of them. That I had put together over the years, last 5, 8, 10 years, especially. From my estimation, that's when they really commandeered the movement the last 10 years. Social media, of course, is the main way they've done it. Like I said, I've been saying everyone's got an opinion now. Great divide and conquer tactic of the egoist. That's what Julie and Andy brought up in this paper, greed, about no one working together. He blamed Ayn Rand, however you pronounce that. Of course, she was a Synagogue of Satan member. He didn't talk about that, but it seems to be a trait of theirs, division. Mike, were you aware of the quotes by General Grant on the Synagogue of Satan members talking about carpetbaggers and such?
You mean Special Order Number 11?
Yeah, that one.
No, about them never heard of it.
They were causing trouble, I guess.
No.
Yeah, you know, the thing that's funny is he's a useful idiot for him. It's kind of ironic. They got all these minions out there. None of them know who's doing what, you know. It's pretty sad.
I believe Grant issued that in December of 1862, if my memory does not fail me.
Yeah.
He expelled all Jews from Kentucky, Tennessee, and Mississippi.
Hmm.
And his statement was, the Jews, as a class violating every regulation of trade established by the Treasury Department, and also department orders, are hereby expelled from the Department of the Tennessee, an administrative district of the Union Army of Occupation, composed of Kentucky, Tennessee, and Mississippi, within 24 hours from the receipt of this order. Post commanders will see to it that all of the class of people be furnished passes and required to leave, and anyone returning after such notification will be arrested and held in confinement until an opportunity occurs of sending them out as prisoners, unless furnished with permit from headquarters. No passes will be given these people to visit headquarters for the purpose of making personal application for trade permits. The immediate cause of the expulsion was the raging black market in southern cotton. Although enemies in war, the North and South remained dependent on each other economically.
Mm.
Northern textile mills needed the southern cotton. The Union Army itself used southern cotton in its tents and uniforms. Although the Union Military Command preferred an outright ban on trade, President Lincoln decided to allow limited trade in southern cotton.
Oy vey. We're done. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for everyone else. See you next week. Hope I feel better. Be safe out there, man.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know.
Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course.